This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Tequila in the morning? What's wrong with that? I would put it in my orange juice about 7 a.m. It would be a large glass of orange juice. There would be a little tequila. The Champs did that one years ago, and Ed tells me he's doing it in honor of Kamala Harris finding the southern border today. We're going to talk a little bit about that later, Ed. It's delightful that she's not actually going to the place where it's the real hot spot, however.
No, but she's close, at least.
Yeah, she's getting closer. Did you know that she's further from the real trouble at McAllen, Texas, when she goes to El Paso? Is it El Paso she's going to, by the way? Or San Antonio, I can't remember. Anyway, she's further away from the real hotspot at that point in Texas than Chicago is from Washington, D.C. So that's still a distance away. Anyway, good morning and welcome to FreedomWorks, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, along with my buddy Big Ed Davis. We thank you for joining us. It is Friday, June the 25th. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Jonathan Butcher of the Heritage Foundation. We're going to talk about critical race theory and worries that it's become an indoctrination program in many American schools. Lots of concern. Have you been watching these school board meetings where these parents are showing up and really are showing their anger and their frustration? So we're going to talk about that. And Vice President Kamala Harris has finally found her way to the southern border for a photo op today in El Paso, Texas. Meanwhile, Biden, our president, threatens Republicans to spend more money on things, all kinds of things he wants. He can't spend it fast enough. Have you noticed? He's got money for every problem we've got. He's got a money solution. That's what it's all about. So we're going to get some thoughts about that and some other things from the proprietor of the Barber Pole a little bit later, Andrew Ceresi. And by the way, speaking about Biden, what's going on with him? You know when he bends forward over the microphone and stares at the camera and looks around and points his finger while lecturing his listeners? Have you seen that one? Is this another Creepy Joe moment? Is that where he's losing it a little bit? We're gonna talk about it. We're going to talk about it a little bit later in the show. And in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 heaviest people ever recorded. Wait till you hear about that. Unbelievable. By the way, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. You guys, the best place you can go for a haircut, to my mind, is exactly that place. It is located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Call for your appointment, because I'll tell you what, it's a busy place, but they'll find a spot for you. 727-733-3773. And while we're at it, I hope you listen to Good Morning Clearwater just before we came on. Monday through Friday, they are on 8 to 10 a.m. here on the great Tan Talk Radio Network. All right. So, Kamala Harris, by the way, they say they're not bowing to Republican or conservative pressure about this. They said pressure was not a factor in the decision by Harris to go down to El Paso, Texas today after what, about close to 100 days of ignoring it when she was named border czar? Now, we know how bad everything is around there. I mean, it's like an open wound. And she, how do you compare it? Let's see, she's supposed to be the border czar. Let's say you come running into the emergency ward with an open slash on your arm, and you're bleeding all over the place. And she goes, I'll tell you what, I'll run upstairs, and we'll make sure that we have a nice room for you with a nice bed. And you're going, wait a second, I'm bleeding to death. Take care of this. So she's ignoring all of the people pouring in while she goes to where? El Salvador? To talk to them about keeping their people at home? Yeah, that'll work. So the White House says Harris was tapped by Biden back in March to take on the border, but really to take on the root cause. The root cause. How far back do we go for the root cause? You know? I mean, she's going to El Salvador and places like Nicaragua. There's people from Mexico. There's people from all over the world that want to get in here. But we want to do it legally. We want to do it legally. So anyway, she'll get over there and, you know, she'll be protected. She won't be, you won't hear many questions from conservatives while she's standing there. This is a spokesperson for Harris. This administration does not take their cues from Republican criticism, nor from the former president of the United States of America. We have said over a number of different occasions, and the vice president has said over the course, for the last 3 months, that she would go to the border. She has been there before. She would go again. She would go when it was appropriate. She would go when it was appropriate. All right, now we know when she will go. I guess Trump saying he was going to show up there was, it looked to me like that's when they got off their avoidance of the border, when he said he was going to go over there. So we'll see where all of that goes. How about just finishing the fence? Is that the problem? You know, just finish the fence. It would seem to me if we could get the fence going and done, it's going to help a lot. It's going to help a lot. Anyway, we're going to get back to that a little bit later with Andrew. What we're going to talk about when we come out from our break is this whole issue of critical race theory. It's the big topic these days. We're going to talk with Jonathan Butcher of the Heritage Foundation. So here comes a few spots, and then we're back to talk with Jonathan. Mustang Sally.
Guess you better slow than Mustang down. This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Yeah, hello, everybody. We have a great new show coming up for you on Thursdays from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. The show is called The Sounds Around Town. It will feature independent artists from our community. We will interview them and give them a chance to play their music on the radio. We will also feature some of the greats who already live in our community. So check us out every Thursday, The Sounds Around the Town, 5 to 6 p.m. on the Can Talk Radio Network, AM 1340, FM 106.1.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
are back and delighted to have Jonathan Butcher join us. Jonathan works as a Will Skillman Fellow in Education at the Heritage Foundation, and he knows a lot about what's going on in our schools. He has testified on education policy around the country. And by the way, he's currently writing a book for Post Hill Press discussing critical race theory in schools and America's national identity. Jonathan, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thank you. Great to be with you.
Yes, indeed. Now, you have penned a piece along with your colleagues, Lindsay Burke and Mike Gonzalez, on how President Trump, former President Trump, was correct in calling for pushback on critical race theory lessons in school. Would you expand on that a little bit?
Sure. Many in the mainstream media and even some educators today are saying critical race theory is a figment of our imagination and that it doesn't really exist and schools aren't doing it. But some, so take the superintendent of Loudoun County, Virginia, that district actually contracted with a teacher training organization that focuses on critical race theory, and they use the words on their website and in their presentation. Portland Public Schools has a critical race theory working group that puts their videos on the internet, and that's what they call themselves, critical race theorists. So, you know, this idea that it's somehow a figment of a certain group of people who are just angry is nonsense. There's clear evidence that these people who are advocating for critical theory often call themselves critical theorists.
Mm-hmm.
But to get to the main problem, critical race theory is racially discriminatory. It advocates for racial prejudice, and so that is the concern.
It's interesting. Now, people on the other side would argue that students were not being taught, up until recently maybe, were not being taught enough about what happened to black people when they were brought over on those ships way, way back and became slaves here in this country. And that it was sort of glossed over. You know, it's one of these things where, yes, it happened, it was a mistake, and let's move on from it. And a lot of these people would say, well, we need to really examine it because it will make us all the better and, you know, things like that to make sure that it never happens again. How would you respond to that?
So critical race theorists today, like Gloria Ladson Billings, have said themselves that it's virtually impossible to make it through a teacher training program in a college today without coming into close contact with questions of diversity and race in education. And so I think for decades now, at least in the last two or three decades especially, there has been a big focus in teacher training programs on this. I agree. We should have a thorough review of history for all of our students, without question. No one should try to skip over, right, the effects of slavery, what slavery was like in the United States. But most importantly, it should be taught so that we understand that it conflicted with American ideals. It conflicted with America's promise of freedom and opportunities for everyone, regardless of the color of your skin. So I think where we find ourselves today is with these kind of very ambiguous accusations that, oh, we don't teach history very well, or we didn't in the past, with very few specifics about what that looked like.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we should be specific about what students should be learning. And we should be very thorough with how students are taught both history and civics.
We're talking with Jonathan Butcher. He is an expert, and in fact, is coming out with a book for Post Hill Press discussing critical race theory in schools. He also is a Will Skillman Fellow in Education at the Heritage Foundation. So one of the things it seems that is coming out of all of this is a sense of white guilt and the idea that it's white guilt is being taught to these young kids. These kids that really don't know, you know, they're kind of virgins when it comes to this kind of thing. They don't think about prejudice. They're you know, they're up in the morning and they're basically dancing to the tune of their parents and their educators and the whole bit. And so are we trying to inculcate a sense of guilt, do you think, into their impressionable minds at this point? Is that the main concern?
Well, I think discrimination is something that is learned. It's not, you're not born with it. And I think that we have these lessons that are telling children that because of the color of their skin, they are entitled to certain privileges, which makes them oppressive. And I think that is absolutely the wrong lesson for both children who are white and children who are, you know, any other color, right? Because what you're saying to white children is that there is something wrong with them inherently that they can't fix, or that they are going to have to struggle to accommodate for. And for children of any other racial ethnicity, you're saying you are inherently disadvantaged, and so you can't overcome the challenges in your life without help, and so you will be forever dependent. And both of those lessons are awful. Those are absolutely the wrong lessons. And I think that the evidence of Americans who are black who have overcome any number of circumstances in the past to make themselves incredibly successful, either financially or in any other outcome measure in the past, is clear evidence that your success has everything to do with your personal behavior, with your choices, and that race is subsidiary, if not negligible, when it comes to the outcomes of your how you pursue the American dream. Now, we should recognize that after the period of slavery, Jim Crow laws, all of those different things, they created ripple effects, right, that are still felt today, and we should be working towards creating opportunities. But to say that the problem is racial and then just stop there, I think, is a disservice to the next generation.
Right, right, right. So now we've got all of these, I shouldn't say all of them, but there have been some school board meetings where all kinds of angry, frustrated parents have showed up. Loudoun County, Virginia, maybe be the prime example now. Telling these teachers to stop trying to inculcate kids with a particular philosophy and start teaching them the basics so that, don't tell them what to think, but show them how to think. A lot of that is coming out. It's kind of catching fire, right?
It absolutely is. I mean, I think parents recognize discrimination when they see it. I think people know what racial discrimination is, and they want no place. They want it to have no place in American life, and that I think is it is proof positive, right, that there has been a cultural shift since the civil rights movement, and that was one of the lasting legacies of that movement, is creating a cultural shift of how we view it. I would say it's not just parents though too. I mean, I think there are some people who identify either as politically centrist or ideologically centrist or even on the left, who are rejecting this, right? I mean, people like Andrew Sullivan and Barry Weiss, and I think writers like Steve Pinker. I mean, so, you know, there are people who write for The Atlantic magazine and have in the past written for The New York Times and things like that, who are also saying, no, this is racist. this is discriminatory.
Right, right. And then, and I think there was a sister article by a couple of your colleagues about how schools might hide the fact that they're trying to teach it. That when they're confronted, they go, no, 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 we're not trying to do anything like that. So there's ways, I guess, of determining if these things are occurring. I don't know, other than sneaking into the classroom, you know, and hiding behind a couple of the students in the back, how parents would find out whether or not it's being taught.
Well, I mean, if this idea was so just and righteous, why would teachers have to hide it? And there are examples from school districts in Missouri, in the article I wrote for the Daily Signal, we have a couple of places where emails have been have surfaced that show teachers are telling each other to either hide the words white privilege or to hide certain terms so that parents can't see what's going on. But then they also say, don't change what you're doing in the classroom. Just make it harder for parents to get access to it. So that's a terrifying concept.
Private schools that are not being funded by the government, are they as much of an issue with critical race theory? Or do you find that they don't teach that kind of thing as much? Is there any difference between that and the public schools in terms of the, what, the percentage of schools that may be teaching you?
Hard to say in percentage terms, but there are absolutely examples in private schools. And in fact, one of the sort of, you know, center or self-identifying center-left writers, Barry Weiss, has written about how some of the most competitive private schools in the U.S. Have statements on their websites talking about, you know, the new critical race theory. Or
now we're talking universities, universities and colleges in that instance, right? Is that what you're thinking?
No.
Oh, okay.
Private K-12 private schools.
Places, oh.
Yeah, places where, you know, parents are paying big money to send their children to private K-12 schools.
And they boast about it?
That's right. Yes, they have these statements on their website. That's right. Even schools in where I'm in South Carolina, and even private schools near where I am have advocated for the work of Ibram X. Kendi and Robin DiAngelo, who wrote White Fragility. So, yeah, I mean, this is very much an issue that parents on both public and private schools should be aware of.
Again, we're talking with Jonathan Butcher. He's got a book coming out, Post Hill Press. He'll be discussing critical race theory in schools and America's national identity. Jonathan, when do you think that book will be out?
We have a date of February 22nd of 2022, but I have I'm in talks now with my very gracious editors and publisher of about moving that up. But I know that at the latest it'll be February 22nd of next year.
Very excited. Do you think that's still going to be a big issue, critical race theory? And by the way, I also want to ask you this. How did it start? How did this idea of starting to bring back what we did to black people at the founding of our country, when did that become in vogue, do you think?
Well, you know, so I'll take the first question. I mean,
yeah.
Do I think it'll still be an issue? Discrimination should be condemned wherever we find it, and I think as long as discrimination is out there, whether it's in the form of critical race theory or anything else, we should identify it. But yes, mm-hmm. I don't think those advocating for this discrimination are backing down. They certainly have the mainstream media advocating for them.
Yeah, is this a Democrat idea? You know, let's get this black white thing going here. You know, you'll hear a lot of people discuss the fact that this is really kind of almost the Marxist ideology of separating races. You know, pitting them against each other. This is what you need so that you can have the fall of the capitalist structure and the social and the formation of the socialist structure. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. My colleague at Heritage, Mike Gonzalez, and myself wrote a piece for Law and Liberty on just that topic of how critical race theory is built on top of what is known as critical theory, which is the sort of neo-Marxist way of describing the world between oppressors and the oppressed. And so I that's where it originated, right? It originated with German Marxists who were frustrated that, you know, Marxist ideas hadn't become more widespread in Germany. And so it came to American law schools and then developed into critical race theory.
Wow. So there is a sort of a conspiratorial nature to this topic, and that it's used to advantage, perhaps, by those that would want to, you know, slice down the capitalistic personal responsibility kind of thing. Very, very interesting, Jonathan. I want to thank you so much for coming on. I know we'll have you back again, be talking about things like this. Good luck to you. Good luck with your book.
Thank you.
All right. Jonathan Butcher, Heritage Foundation, going to take our break. And when we come back, Kamala Harris, I think she's there now, and she's made her way to the El Paso border. They've got to show her where the border is. Maybe she can jump back and forth over the border. We'll talk about all of that with the proprietor of the barber pole himself, Andrew Ceresi.
And if you go down there, you better just beware. A man named Leroy Brown. Now Leroy, more in trouble. About 6'4", all the downtown ladies call him Treetop Lover. All the men just call him sir.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports.
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back. By the way, this is the last Friday of June, is it not? The 25th. Thank you for being with us. We are here every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Great Tantalk Radio Network. If you cannot listen to us live, Ed has put all of our programs on podcast. Thank goodness. So you can go and listen at your leisure. Just go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com, ourfreedomworks.com. Look up at the top, and there's the podcast button. Click on it and enjoy. Well, I guess, Ed, we would be remiss if we didn't bring up the terrible tragedy in Surfside, Florida yesterday. Right now, the toll is four people dead, at least the thing I'm looking at, with 159 people missing. Does not bode well for those 159 people. Apparently, there was some weakness in the foundation, and it was starting to sink. Did you read about that?
No, I did not, but if I don't know if you've seen the size of the building that it was before it fell. When I first saw the pictures yesterday, I thought, you know, like one sliver of it just kind of slid down, but you're talking about the portion that fell down was bigger than the portion that's still standing.
Yeah.
And it started in the middle, and the middle caved in basically compacted to the ground, and then not long after that, the one side
went.
It
looked like it was bombed.
But I did the Google Earth thing and went down to street level and looked at it. And it's one of those condos where all the parking is underneath. The whole ground floor is parking, and there's some concrete stanchions. I wonder over the years if people have maybe backed into those and weakened them over the years. You don't know if there's a sinkhole underneath there. They just put up a new Hojo next to it, so Howard Johnson, whatever it is, next to it within the last couple of years. Could that have softened the ground?
Could
Who
have been.
Knows?
It's,
but definitely.
And they were also doing some remodeling.
Yeah.
That could have contributed to it. But they had talked about the fact that it was actually, the building itself was actually by centimeters, not inches, but by centimeters, had been sinking.
Mm.
And, you know, there's like shale rock. You know, we got the sandy earth.
You build so close to the water.
And you build close to the water. That's another thing.
Yeah. And, you know, all those hotels along the strip there, I'm sure they're going to go back and look at all of them now.
I would think so. And, well, of course, right now we're focusing on getting the people that we can out of there. But this is going to be a huge thing. Oh, boy. So, President Biden has said that he and a bipartisan group of senators have reached a deal on $1.2 trillion in spending for infrastructure. Then he comes out and he says, actually, if Republicans don't agree to this other program, which will include spending that we could not get into the infrastructure bill, he will reject the whole thing. And I'm thinking, good, reject the whole thing. Please, I don't want you to spend trillions of dollars. Infrastructure can be worked on by the states individually. They know better what they need. The federal government does not. And yes, there are federal things inside the states, but the states should be taking the lead on that. So very interesting. You want to say?
And I know we have the Master Barber on the line there with us. Did you?
Yes, I'm going to bring him on.
Did you hear the whispering Biden yesterday?
Yes, we're going to talk about that a little bit later. Where he leans for
$1.9 trillion relieved so far.
Is that just creepy or what?
It is creepy. Andrew,
get the kids away from that man.
I know. Exactly. Andrew, when you are watching, and I know you watch with relish, sometimes with mustard and ketchup, you watch with relish when Biden is talking to you. And when he leans forward over the microphone and he looks you in the eye and he whispers those things, I'll bet you go, yes, sir. Is that right?
Well, I see him on television, I'm going to pull him through the screen and bitch slap. You got to be kidding me.
Very good.
He's whispering in there, he's on his little secrets. Hey, what about the village idiot yesterday? Or the day before yesterday? The village idiot sit there and said, it's going to take the American people to have a nuke and a few F-15s to take over the government. Is that a threat from the moron president of the United States?
What did he say again? I'm sorry.
Yeah. He said the American people think of taking over the government. They need to get some nukes and some F-15s first.
He did. Did he? Wow. I did not see that.
You didn't know that one?
No, Americans said
it's all over the place.
Okay. They're going to keep their semi-automatic weapons, so if they need to take over the government one day,
okay,
you're going to need F-15s and
nukes and F-15s.
Good.
So, you know what? I tell you what. They didn't need nukes and F-15s when they supposedly stormed the Capitol that one time. They're all running like chickens without a head when they got
That's
in there,
true.
Didn't they?
That's
all
true.
Right. He better be worried. He better quit shooting his mouth off like that. Because I tell you what, he just made gun sales go up another 50%.
Yeah, you know, the thing with the gun sales, and you're right about that, boy, gun sales are the big deal. And they're running out of the ammo for some reason. Is the ammunition made overseas? Is that why we're running out of it?
We make it here too, Paul. The thing is, I'm investing in ammo instead of gold because it's worth a lot more.
I think you're right.
I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
But, you know, Paul, you guys were talking earlier. I heard him talking that the people with the shots, it's all of a sudden is way down. People aren't going back for their second ones. You know why, Paul?
Why?
I'll tell you why. Because the people know the truth of this whole thing is coming out. You had a virologist on OAN yesterday.
One American News.
Dr. Hatfield, virologist.
Mm-hmm.
Fauci had no idea what he was talking about when he condemned hydroxychloroquine. He said there would have been at least a couple hundred thousand lives saved. Okay? Now, you got people wondering about these shots. The 500,000 that are dead, I guarantee you, 65,000 of them died from the COVID flu. The rest of them were all net. People are realizing this is nothing but a farce, and now they're trying to scare the young people. The Delta version is coming, and it's going after the young people now.
Mm-hmm.
Are these people nuts to think people believe this crap, Paul?
Mm-hmm.
Now it goes after certain people. They're trying to scare the young people. These people are a bunch of morons. They're trying to fear-monger this whole country, but you know what? It's not working, Paul. People are getting smart to it.
Yeah. Well, there is concern about the long-term effects of those shots, and there are a lot of people that are waiting. I totally understand that. And the children are the ones that are the least vulnerable, and yet there is this... You know, it's still the great unknown to some extent. I mean, we had never gone through anything like this in our lives before.
We've never had any bullcrap this much in our life before.
Yeah, and Fauci, you're right. Fauci's been doing...
We went through a pandemic in the 1800s. Okay, with the Spanish flu. We went through one before.
Oh, yeah, 1918 we had one, right? Right around World War
One. This one's fake, Paul. This one is fake. And it's all going to come out.
You think it's fake, though, huh?
I'm telling you, I'm not saying it was fake. There was a COVID flu or a COVID virus, but it didn't kill 500,000 people, Paul. It killed 70,000, 80,000 people, just like the normal flu does. But okay. Because people died of heart attacks, cancer, and everything else, they just put that in with COVID.
Yeah.
That's why the number was.
So it's way overestimated, yeah.
It's way overestimated, okay. Paul.
Yeah.
They're full of crap. They're trying to fearmonger this country. And the American people better get some backbone and start trampling this stuff.
Well, your favorite vice president has finally found her way down to the border for a nice photo op. She's not gone to the border where all the trouble is. She'll be surrounded by people that will protect her from any kind of really tough questions. But she's gotten down there. It seems to me that they didn't think about sending her down there until Trump said he was going to go over there. And by the way, we got to kudos to Governor Ron DeSantis, who is more than willing to send whatever is necessary over to Texas to help them fortify a wall.
Well, I heard some morons on the liberal station the other day saying the only reason that Ron DeSantis is doing that because it's a political move, Paul. And he says all he's going to do is maybe send 5 fish and wild game people down there to make it look good that he did something. Let me tell you something. These liberals are so freaking stupid. We need to give them their own country and call it the stupid state.
Yes. Well, there's a lot of people. I think it's in Idaho, by the way. And Oregon.
They want to start going over.
Yeah, there's a portion of Oregon that wants to secede and attach itself to Idaho. It's more Republican.
You know what, Paul, the people in Oregon need to band together and go after this stuff themselves.
Yeah.
The government don't do it. You got your arms. Go take care of business yourself. The time has come.
Right. Well, okay. Things are. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You know, I was starting to laugh the other day. You know, they were saying that they allow the Bible in jail for the guys to read and get reformed, you know. And why the hell did they take the Bible out of the school? If they read the Bible while they were in school, they might not be in jail today.
That's a good point. I think that's a very good point. The Bible used to be something that people, you would find it in your hotel room. It was quoted all the time. It was the most read book. It is the most read book of all time. Words of inspiration, words of wisdom. You know, a personal growth kind of a thing that you can read. All the good things, you know, mostly. And yet, now it's something that, you know, you're not going to see it sitting on a stand next to a teacher's desk or anything like that. It's kind of like, I don't know, it's kind of like being banned, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
You know, Paul, you know, and we're talking about the tragedy in Miami right now.
Yes.
I'm not jumping to conclusions.
Okay.
I'm not jumping to conclusions. I want to know what happened. They sent in the Federal Bureau of Idiots. Why, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but, you know, watching that video, I mean, if one part of that building tended to be leaning, I think someone would have leaned to the side when it fell instead of straight down.
Okay, so what do you suspect?
Me, you know, you got a strong governor in Florida. The Democrats don't care who they kill or what they do to make somebody look bad. I don't think this is the first incident that's going to happen in Florida. I think you might see a couple more.
You blaming Democrats for this building collapse?
I'm not blaming nobody. I'm waiting to see what comes out.
Okay.
I believe there might have been a little pop in that building, but we'll see what happens.
Wow.
What do I know? I'm just a barber, Paul.
Yeah.
But I don't trust these people, and I'm suspicious of everything, Paul.
You are? Okay.
We got a very strong governor here, and I believe the Democrats will do anything they can to try and make him look bad.
I don't think it will succeed if there's any attempt. I mean, they're trying to make him look bad, but this guy is just getting stronger and stronger. He's going to be, I don't know.
Who they kill, Paul.
He almost.
They don't care who they kill.
I'm thinking
they
that
killed 500,000 people.
You know, Ronald Reagan started out as a governor in California. And really built his reputation for what he was doing for that state at the time, back in the 60s and 70s and things like that. And I see a lot of that with Ron DeSantis, you know. He's got that same, I don't know, there's a charisma about him. There's a light shining around him. And I wonder if he might be that kind of a person. I don't mean to put any pressure on him, but
I think Ron has got the potential. It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Like I told you, I've known him most of his life.
Yes, you have. And you know his dad very well.
And it's like I was saying.
And his father's a wonderful guy.
I'm going to watch two winners this weekend.
Okay.
I'm going to watch the Lightning win tonight.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to watch the Trump rally tomorrow night in Sarasota. I want to see two winners.
Okay, so we got a Trump rally and in Sarasota tomorrow night?
That's right. It's called the Save America Rally.
Okay.
And I can't wait to hear him because you know he's going to be speaking the truth all the way down.
Oh,
the
hall. Well,
he's going to tell you like it is.
He's going to draw a huge crowd.
Ears, you better not listen. I hurt your little feelings.
You are always a pleasure to have on, Andrew. I thank you so very much. Are you going to be attending that Sarasota rally, or are you going to?
No, Paul, I was going to go with Ron, but I can't make it because I have to take care of the old man.
Yes,
I
that's
go to Sarasota and back and take care of him at the same time.
But that's right. You're doing God's work.
I will be there.
Well, you're doing God's work. I know you'll be there in spirit. Thank you, Andrew. I look forward to talking with you on Monday.
You got it. Go Lightning.
All right. There he goes. By the way, we are going to talk about Lightning on the other side of the break, among other things, Ed. And I know you got some thoughts on that. So let us take our final break, and we will be back. And also, we have a great top 10, so stay tuned.
Do you
want to
go out with the Whispering Joe?
Yes, let's get... Okay. Where's Joe? Where's Joe?
I got them. $1.9 trillion relief so far. They're going to be getting checks in the mail that are consequential this week for childcare. A lot has been happened already, number one. Number two, I'm going to fight like heck to get them the rest of what I think has to be done.
One more time.
Don't in any way dismiss what Senator Murphy says about the environment. Don't dismiss it at all. Just remind him, I wrote the bill on the environment.
And now... Why workers are not going back to work. Employers are looking for workers.
Critical, y'all. I really mean this. It was legitimate questions you're asking me. Asking me, well, you know, guess what? Employers can't find workers. I said, yeah, pay them more. This is an employees bargaining chip now.
The press conference got a lot of attention.
Tan Talk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest-running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question. Get an answer. Free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Thank you so much for being with us on Freedom Works. And indeed, Joe Biden is acting a little strange. And by the way, it's trending on Twitter. Many people are calling it the creepy interaction with the press. He held a press conference yesterday at the White House to share his thoughts on the announcement that a bipartisan group of senators had reached a tentative deal on the infrastructure bill. And throughout the press conference, he behaved in a bizarre manner, repeatedly leaning over the podium and answering reporters' questions in a whisper. I guess some of that that you pulled out of their head might have come from yesterday. So Town Hall posted a compilation, too, of his Whispering Joe press conferences where he leans forward. Ah, boy. So he's, you know, Creepy Joe. He had that title even before his whispering. for some of the things that he would do, especially the way he would enfold his arms around people, especially women. Anyway, I guess, you know what, we're picking on him a little bit here. We shouldn't be doing that. So, two other things before we get to the lightning. It looks like a somewhat conservative black guy is going to become the mayor of New York. Eric Adams, who has a policeman's background, is maintaining a sizable lead over his nearest rivals. And, you know, this is the Democratic primary, but in New York City, it's going to be a Democrat that becomes mayor. So this guy, Eric Adams, and he's kind of a no-nonsense guy. He wants more police. He wants zero tolerance of gangs. I think he's going to win.
Now, is de Blasio not running?
Correct. He's not allowed to run, I don't think.
Oh, he's term limited?
Thank God. I think he's term limited.
Okay.
I think that's what it is. Also, speaking of New York, Rudy Giuliani, his license has been suspended. They are saying, the New York State Supreme Court yesterday, that that his license should be suspended related to his defense of Trump in the election process. Now, you know, he might have said some things that might have been exaggerated about some of the voting, but to suspend his law license, then they should suspend the law license of every attorney, and that's all I'm going to say about that. Now, let us get to something even more important and enjoyable, Ed. We've got Game 7 of the Stanley Cup semifinals tonight, and we already know who the winner of tonight's game is going to play in the Stanley Cup. They are going to play the Montreal Canadiens. Did you watch any of that game last night against Las Vegas, Montreal?
I flipped it here and there. Okay. I saw that Montreal was ahead.
Yeah, and they won in overtime.
Yeah.
Very exciting seven-game series.
Mm-hmm.
So...
No, actually, that only won six.
A six-game series. Yeah. You're correct. I'm sorry. You are right. Six-game series. So, we are going to the seventh game, however.
Mm-hmm.
And we just lost in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
Give me your thoughts. Are we going to win it? And also, is Kucherov, one of our best superstars, will he be taking the ice?
Kucherov first. No decision has been made. Basically nothing, which bodes well for us, because that's a John Cooper thing, that something he pulled last year with the bubble, that the media was not allowed to see the morning skates, and they slipped him out there to get him ready. So I think they'll have him ready. Cooch will take whatever it takes, a little shot here, a little shot there, to get him on the ice. I think he'll be there tonight. And if they play like they did the other night, where they just came out and, you know, no penalties, keep the power plays down, and just went out and whipped them, you know, straight up.
The 8-0 win.
Yeah, skate to skate, just flat out whipped them.
Yeah.
I think that's the side that we will see tonight.
Now,
I'd be surprised if they lose at home tonight.
That's what I was going to ask.
So, did you see the final couple of minutes of when the game was over in New York? Why were the fans throwing beer cans and stuff onto the ice?
Because it may be the last time that stadium will ever be used again for their team. Well, you know, they're building a new stadium.
Well, they sure are faithful, aren't they? I mean, they're sure they have a lot of faith in their team, don't they? So they think their team's going to come back here and lose anyway.
That's right.
A lot of faith there.
These people may never be back in that stadium, so they decided to throw their stuff on the ice. But you're right.
Mm-hmm.
If somehow the Islanders beat, God forbid, beat the Lightning tonight, they'll be back at that stadium again. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a very exciting whole. The whole thing's very exciting.
Yeah, it's exciting,
you know?
Because it's Game 7, and it means that you know, the hockey season could be over for us by tomorrow morning.
I mean, these Islanders are starting to scare me a little bit.
Well, they went 7 games last year, so let's see what happens.
Yeah. All right. Very good, my friend. All right, it's time for our top 10. We have a good one, Ed. I don't think you're listed in this, but it's the top 10 heaviest people of all time that were recorded. And wait till you hear the weights on some of these people. It's unbelievable. We're also going to tell you how old they were when they died, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go. Number 10. It's actually a tie, so it's going to be two nines here, all right? First one is Michael Habranko of the USA. He was born in 1953. He died at the age of 60 in 2013. He weighed, at the top of his weight, 1,100 pounds. Wow, that is a lot of weight. Okay, and here's the other guy. His name is Iman Ahmed Atti from Egypt. He actually lived for 37 years. He was born in 1980. And he also weighed 1,100 pounds, okay? So there you go. All right, number eight. Another American, Francis John Lang. He's still alive.
Wow.
Oh, no, he's not alive. I'm sorry. He was born in 1934. And they don't know when he died, but he weighed 1,186 pounds. Okay. Number seven. Walter Hudson, another American. He died at the age of 47. He was born in 1944, 1,197 pounds. Number five. I say number five because we have two.
Okay.
All right. First one is Robert Butler of America. He died at the age of 43 in 2015. He weighed 1,200 pounds.
Wow.
And the other one is a woman, Carol Yeager. She lived for 34 years, born in 1960, 1,200-pound woman. Unbelievable. All right, number four, Juan Pedro Franco of Mexico. He is still alive, born in 1985, 1,312 pounds. Wow. Number three, Manuel Uribe of Mexico, another Mexican. He lived for 48 years. He was born in 1965, died in 2014, 1,316 pounds. Number two, Khalid bin Mohsen Shari of Saudi Arabia. He is still alive. He's either 29 or 30 years old. He weighs 1,000, or did weigh 1,340 pounds. All right. Ed, I know you don't know who it is. Well, what country do you think it might be?
Let's go back to Mexico.
That's a good guess. It's actually the USA again. John Brower Minnick. He was 41 years old when he died. He was born in 1941. He checked in at 1,400 pounds.
Oh.
Now, when you weigh that much, I don't think you can literally walk.
No.
You're probably confined to a bed or something like that. Now, you've read where some of these people have taken off like 600, 700 pounds.
Yeah.
I don't know what would cause them to get that big. I guess it's more of a thyroid issue.
Yeah, maybe.
You know,
I mean,
it's a very scary
situation.
Sure,
they weren't just snacking the late night to get that.
No.
It'd be a heck of a snack.
They went Yes. Anyway, thank you so very much for being with us. We are going to be back on Monday. I want you to stay tuned for Brother Jim and his program, his Kia program, following the news. But remember, freedom works.